got this apple from?
My name is Ron D. Kingsley. I'm 64 years old. Today is November 25th, 2018. I'm speaking with Fred Hancock, who is my grandson. We are recording this interview in Mesa, Arizona. I remember driving down the road, and I was living in California at the time, didn't really know what I was going to be doing in life, because I just finished high school, but didn't really care about high school much. And I saw the enlisted sign, I rolled in the side, and I signed up. So that's what I remember. Well, worst is an interesting conception. I don't know that there's anything worse she did, but I can remember a time when one time she was told to go outside and watch the boys because she had two brothers that were younger than her at the time. And a few minutes later, we heard screaming coming from outside. The boys were just screaming and screaming. We ran outside and she had taken a hose and was washing them down. And we said, "What are you doing?" She said, "Well, you told me to wash the boys." I think the thing that I'm most proud of is never giving up. I had to finish high school on my own, living alone and working, and it was not fun. I went into the Army, got out of the Army, found out I could make $350 a month to go to school for the GI Bill, so I thought, well, I'm going to school. At that point in time, I started going to school, taking just art classes. In the middle of that year, I joined a church that made me think about other things and decided I wanted to do more with my life. So I spent a year doing well in school. Well, I did well in art too, but I did well graduating with a 3.97 GPA so I could go on and become, get a scholarship later on. And I went on a mission 2 years for the church I joined. Then when I came back, I got a scholarship to BYU. I decided I wanted to be a psychologist and I never looked back. I got my bachelor's in psychology with a minor in English and art. And then I got a master's in school psychology and then a PhD in clinical psychology. And then I got married and had four children, and I've never looked back. I never gave up, and that's the key, I think, that I'm most proudest of. As a good father and a good husband, kind of already told you a little bit about that. When I was taking my second year my associate's two-year degree at Maricopa Technical Community College here in Arizona, I took a psychology class. That's when I got interested in psychology and decided that I wanted to make that my career, and I wanted to help anybody who'd gone through anything like what I had growing up. I wanted to be able to help them not have to go through that, or at least have a better chance of getting through it with a little bit more awareness and knowledge. So I got interested in that at that time, and like I said, never looked back, went on and became a school and a clinical psychologist. Sometimes when you're working with people, it's not very easy to get through to them, but it's very important to do so. I had a young man that was brought to me. He was about 14 years old, and his mother had taken him to see several psychologists before me, came in saying, "He's not going to talk to you." And I wondered to myself, why are you bringing him to me again then, you know, if that's the case? But be that as it may, she left the interview. The boy was in with me in my office, and I looked at him and I said, "You know, I can't make you talk to me, and I'm not going to try. So if you don't want to talk to me, that's okay." I turned and I sat there, and he had said he didn't want to talk to me, so I was okay with that. And I sat there and I wrote notes and I observed what he was doing and how he was responding. For 20 minutes, we had no talking whatsoever. Then I thought to myself, you know, I use a guitar and I use art in my work. And so I picked up my guitar and I thought, he's a young man. I'll play him a song I wrote that is related to something that, you know, anybody might enjoy, maybe a kind of an up-tempo song. It was about the environment. At least I thought that's what it was about. There's about more than that too. But so I sat there and I just started playing the song. And in the middle of the song, the chorus went a certain way. And that chorus, as I reached it the second time and started singing it, the young man burst into tears. I put down my guitar, looked at him, and we had a great session. The chorus had talked about being alone and having nobody to listen to you. And you know, that's exactly how he felt. He felt like his mother didn't listen to him, didn't pay attention to him. And so we had a really, really good session. About a week later, she came back, and she didn't come back. She sent me a letter saying she's not going to pay for this session. All I did was sing songs and play. Well, what really happened was she got so threatened by the fact that I did talk, that he did talk to me, that she, it threatened her too much to bring him back. So as per usual, I hope that that one session helped him some. And I believe it probably did. That was one experience I had that was quite interesting. Another one was, you know, sometimes you don't know exactly what to do. And again, a mother came in and said, you know, I don't think he's going to talk to you. He's really reluctant to talk to anybody. And I didn't know I was going to do this at the time. But if any of you are old enough to know, there's a show on television that was called Mork and Mindy. And Mork used to sit on his head on the couch with his legs dangling and talk to people. That was something that he normally did at his, in his alien atmosphere, place where he came from. And so as we walked into the session, I closed the door and I walked over and I jumped up on the couch, bent with my head upside down, my legs dangling over, and I looked at him and he started laughing. And I rolled over and we started talking and had a really good session that time too. I've never done that since. I don't think I'll ever do it again, but it was a very interesting way to just get through, because sometimes you just got to make a connection with somebody in order to be able to work with them. Is that enough?
Yeah, that's probably good. Thank you.
I have had a profound religious experience. Actually, I've had many. I'll share one with you. When I was over in France and Switzerland doing the mission for the church I had joined, I had an experience where a woman had gone into what's called a fugue state. She wasn't able to talk. She wasn't able to respond. They found her in a closet in her bedroom. And she was American, but she also was living in France and so spoke French fluently. And her children were French, of course, too, because they grew up there. But they also spoke English. She had not spoken for a week. And her children, who knew me, asked if I would come and talk to her and maybe give her what's called a blessing. You know, the clergy can give a blessing at times, and that's what I was asked to do. So I laid my hands upon her head, and I gave her a blessing. And then a blessing, I just talked with her in a way that just seemed to come to me, and talked to her about experiences with her children and experiences with what she had and what was called pre-existence, because we actually believe in that. And at the end of the having talked with her, tears were rolling out of her eyes. She hadn't said anything. She didn't open her eyes. She hadn't opened her eyes in a week or said anything, but tears were rolling out of her eyes, and we left. And later her children told me that about an hour later she got up and started speaking and walking. So that was a pretty profound experience, and I'll never forget that one. Well, your mother was a lot like me. Very energetic and very kind of obsessive about things at times. And she would learn, she was learning things when she was very, very young from movies, from everything that she experienced. I remember one time we had watched the movie Disney's The Sword in the Stone, the cartoon version one. And in that movie, there's a scene where the chipmunks fall out of the tree and they learn about gravity. And I had, your mother was 4 years old at the time, and I had her on roller skates. We were walking down to a Safeway store near our house. We were on the sidewalk and she's going along, and she slipped, although I caught her a little bit, she fell right on her bottom, and she goes, "I hate gravity." She had learned that from The Sword in the Stone.
few years in your school.